From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Minnesota's freshman Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has raised the ire of congressional representatives of both parties with her pointed critique of Israel and the Israeli lobby. When she made the point on Twitter that campaign donations from the Israeli lobby group AIPAC spurs the vehemently pro-Israel positions of some members of Congress, she was singled out for being anti-Semitic. Omar, who along with Rashida Tlaib became the first Muslim woman in Congress, is also the first woman to wear a hijab and the first Somali-American member of Congress. Both have come under intense scrutiny from an administration and a party that has used Islamophobia to score political points. In a tweet on Monday, Omar was forced to apologize for her comments, writing, quote, "Anti-Semitism is real, and I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes." She added, "I unequivocally apologize," but also said, "At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics." My guest is Arielle Gold, National Co-Director of Code Pink. She manages the organization's campaigns for Palestinian rights. Welcome to the program, Arielle.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So let's go through what it was that actually happened. Ilhan Omar has been critical of Israel in the past. She has expressed support for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. But this latest issue that seems to have, turned into a firestorm started with a tweet from Glenn Greenwald, who called out Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, saying that he threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over their criticisms of Israel. And he sort of wondered out loud, "It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans." So Omar retweeted that and she said, "It's all about the Benjamin's baby." She was referring to the fact that it's money that drives it. When asked who's paying for the pro-Israel sentiments in Congress, she just said AIPAC. In your view, were her responses anti-Semitic?
Absolutely not. And Ilhan Omar pointed out what is a well-known and not so hidden fact on Capitol Hill, that AIPAC is ruthless and uses all kinds of means, including financial means, to ensure that Congress does their bidding. I think we all remember Cynthia McKinney, who dared to challenge AIPAC's positions. And AIPAC saw that in her reelection campaign that her opponent was bankrolled. So AIPAC itself does not make these campaign contributions, but they direct their members to do so. And it absolutely turns out that money drives this. It's money, it's politics, and AIPAC is one of the strongest lobbies in the U.S. They demand unconditional U.S. support for Israel, increasing amounts of U.S. military aid. Right now, Israel gets $3.8 billion. That's a whole lot of Benjamins. So to say that she was off base, or this didn't have to do with money, or that she was intending anything anti-Semitic, is an outright smear campaign. And what it serves to do is distract the public and distract our lawmakers from the real conversations that we need to be having, the conversations about the ongoing denial of Palestinian rights, endless U.S. support for a country with numerous human rights abuses, including the killing of over 200 Palestinians in Gaza since the end of March last year.
President Trump has now called on Ilhan Omar to resign from Congress, and certainly resign from her very coveted position on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. This is the same president who doesn't have a problem with Representative Steve King, a Republican who has for so many years held his position in Congress and who has been overtly white supremacist. And it was only in recent months that Steve King's racism was called out by members of his own party, and he was made to resign from a committee that he was on. But he still remains in Congress, and he was able to be in Congress and has been able to be in Congress for a long time. Trump even campaigned for him.
Well, it's quite ridiculous that Trump is now positioning himself as the champion of the Jews. Mm. Really quite disgusting. This is a man who himself has used dog whistle anti-Semitism, including stuff about George Soros, who is regularly, on pretty much a daily basis, Islamophobic, who said that there's unknown Arabs in the caravan coming up from Latin America. If anybody should resign due to bigoted, racist, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic feelings and actual power, it's President Trump.
Now, Michelle Goldberg, writing in the New York Times, pointed out that there is obviously, and we know this, there is a history of anti-Jewish racism in the world and in the country. There are stereotypes that have pervaded the political discourse that often pervade the right, especially among Trump supporters. She pointed out, she wrote in this piece in the New York Times, she said, it's hardly radical to point out that lobbyist money has pernicious political effects. And I certainly have no problem with denunciations of AIPAC, which plays a malign role in pushing American policy in the Middle East to the right. But then she added, but at a moment when activists have finally pried open space in American politics to question our relationship with Israel, it's particularly incumbent on Israel's legitimate critics to avoid anything that smacks of anti-Jewish bigotry and the idea of Jews as global puppet masters using their financial savvy to make the Gentiles do their bidding clearly does. What do you make of that?
Well, that's not at all what Ilhan Omar's tweet said. Ilhan Omar's tweet said that money is controlling members of Congress. That doesn't apply just to AIPAC. That also applies to the NRA, to weapons companies, which are also linked to Israel, but to so many PACs. And let's face it, what's happening here is basically any attempt to smear the leaders in Congress, like Ilhan Omar, who are progressive on so many issues, who have pried open this question of criticizing Israel. Ilhan Omar is also one of the leaders in working to end U.S. support for the Saudi-led war on Yemen. She's one of the few members of Congress who's been brave enough to speak out against a U.S. orchestrated coup in Venezuela. So these are forces of establishment, forces of the status quo, and Israeli occupation apologists who are looking for excuses to find false accusations of anti-Semitism so that they can bring down one of the real front runners in moving our policy towards more progressive positions.
Does the conspiracy theory industry that churns out these tropes of, well, this is more Soros-funded, George Soros-funded activism, is that closer to what you would consider anti-Semitic?
Absolutely. What Ilhan Omar was referring to was something very specific, that of course lobbying has to do with money. And the actual tweet that she wrote, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby," is from a hip hop song.
Yeah. Puff Daddy.
Yes.
So this particular firestorm that has essentially resulted in Ilhan Omar being forced to apologize partly came from pressure that she felt from her own party members. Let's talk about how AIPAC does influence members of both parties and how leader Nancy Pelosi was among the ones that basically shut her down.
Well, this was really despicable of Pelosi. We're talking about the same woman who just, I believe it was last Friday, just followed Donald Trump in recognizing Juan Guaido as the interim president of Venezuela. So this is somebody who just took a war hawk position. And I think Pelosi might be intimidated by all of these rising progressive stars. And absolutely, you know, AIPAC has for so long had a stranglehold on Congress. And we've seen that grip that AIPAC has on Congress slipping in the past years. So this was a real attempt to reassert that the Democratic Party will not move towards a position of working for Palestinian rights. And that's horrific.
AIPAC sponsors trips for members of Congress to Israel, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this year, for the first time, we've seen Rashida Tlaib say she'll be rejecting the trip and that she'll be leading a trip of her own. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has also said that she will be skipping the AIPAC trip. And we've seen a lot of backlash against Rashida Tlaib for this, for saying that she wants people not to go on a propaganda trip, for saying herself that she doesn't want to go on a propaganda trip and that she would like to offer members of Congress an opportunity to see the reality of the situation on the ground that Palestinians live under the occupation. You know, we've seen members of Congress now trying to block her trip. And so there have been a series of attacks on both Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And what I would say happened this time with this tweet is these occupation apologists really seized on this moment to launch a full-scale attack.
Part of the issue is also that Congress, in a bipartisan manner, has made it easier for states to crack down on the free speech rights of Americans if they support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. It's a Palestinian-led struggle to hold Israel accountable. And this is the BDS movement is one that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have also expressed support for. So do these two women, and especially Ilhan Omar, since she's the one in the crossfire right now, crosshairs right now, does she represent all of these things that threaten U.S. and Israel's cozy relationship that depends on the oppression of Palestinians?
Well, let's face it, we have a long ways to go before that cozy and what I would say is an incredibly unhealthy relationship for both countries is endangered. Israel is still continuing to receive $3.8 billion a year from the U.S. U.S. weapons companies and Israeli weapons companies have a cozy relationship. These are the first beginning stages of the door opening where we're seeing more criticism of Israel and support for Palestinian rights. And we have here the leaders of just that little crack in the door being attacked brutally. You referred to the anti-BDS legislation. So that has passed through the Senate side of Congress. But word is that it's going to have a very difficult time on the House side. And that's thanks to people like Ilhan Omar.
And it's in a way, it was Glenn Greenwald's reference to that legislation that Ilhan Omar then retweeted and that started all of this this spat. Do you think it that she should have stood firm? I mean, you know, if real racists like Steve King can hold on to their real racism and refuse to apologize, it's sort of sad that a genuine progressive like Ilhan Omar, who made a statement that you don't consider racist, had to capitulate.
Absolutely. She should have been able to continue getting down to the very important business. We're heading towards a vote on the House side to invoke the War Powers Act and end U.S. support and some of the U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. She should be doing her job, and her job is to do the important work of Congress, the important work of the Foreign Affairs Committee, and she never should have been taken from that.
How effectively has Israel and pro-Israel propagandists here in the U.S. been able to equate all criticism of Israel and its actions against Palestinians as anti-Semitic? I mean, this also seems to fall very squarely in that space, and it seems to be a very effective tool for shutting down established members of Congress.
Well, we've seen some really major attacks in the past year. We saw initially an award be revoked from Angela Davis, thanks to grassroots pressure.
Right.
That award was reinstated. We saw Mark Lamont Hill lose his position. So we've seen as a CNN consultant. So we've seen a lot of this. But what we're also seeing, I want to speak about the hopeful side, is enormous amount of grassroots pressure, like in the case of Angela Davis to say that support for Palestinian rights is part of a comprehensive progressive platform and is in no way anti-Semitic. We've also seen major shifts in American Jewish opinion, moving away from support for the occupation and towards a stand for Palestinian rights. So while this is, you know, a disheartening time, we are overall moving in the right direction. And, you know, I'm so glad that we have these women in Congress that are taking these brave stands.
Now, the situation of Ilhan Omar, Mark Lamont Hill, and Angela Davis, all three of them that you mentioned, are all Black Americans. Is there a racial component here that you are noticing that Black Americans who have in, you know, past in the past decade or so really found common cause with Palestinians and Palestinian rights, with Ilhan Omar, it might also be her Muslim faith, have been attacked even more strongly?
Sure. This is not a coincidence. We began to see alliances between Black solidarity and Palestinian solidarity around the time of Ferguson, when the community in Ferguson took notice that these are the same experiences that Palestinians have under occupation. And a lot of this is due to the deadly exchange of U.S. police training with the Israeli military, as well as the deadly exchange of U.S. weapons between U.S. weapons companies and Israeli weapons companies like Elbit Systems. So as this growing solidarity has been developing, it's a huge threat to the forces of the status quo. And so it's not at all a coincidence that these attacks are coming against Black people, against Muslim women, people of color.
And the media, in their coverage of Ilhan Omar's story in particular, are not, I feel, effectively reminding us of the virulent Islamophobic attacks on her during her campaign for Congress and even after she won, before her inauguration and throughout the first month of her tenure as a freshman congresswoman. She has been the target of some horrific Islamophobic attacks that no one's apologized for.
Absolutely. What we know right now is that American Jews have an enormous amount of power. And I would say that with that power, and as an American Jew myself, comes a huge responsibility. And that responsibility that we have is to use our power to recognize such forces as Islamophobia. And if we, as American Jews, spent just a fraction of the time that we spend looking for anti-Semitism, for false things of anti-Semitism from the left, instead devoting that to stamping out Islamophobia and anti-Black racism, we would make enormous progress that would ensure safety for all people. As an American Jew, I know very well that it will never be through forces like Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu that Jews find safety from anti-Semitism, which is genuinely on the rise. It's by working against all forms of racism that we find that safety. It's through solidarity.
So the anti-Semitism that we've seen on the rise here in the United States has been documented by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, which has its own set of problems. Of course, it's a problematic organization, but it has noted a very strong uptick in anti-Semitic hate crimes as well. We had the horrific synagogue shooting in Philadelphia, and we have people who claim allegiance to Trump marching alongside neo-Nazis in places like Charlottesville. So it's really remarkable that you have this firestorm over Ilhan Omar when the actual rise of anti-Semitism isn't being properly identified and denounced. If you were to give Omar advice, what would you tell her and other critics of Israel in Congress, whose every word is going to be watched, how she should remain true to her critique of AIPAC, of the State of Israel, and effectively respond to charges of anti-Semitism?
Well, first, I just want to point out that even the Anti-Defamation League, which, as you've said, has some problematic elements of their agenda, even they have recognized that virtually all of the anti-Semitic attacks that we have seen as anti-Semitism is on the rise are coming from the far right, from white nationalism. They are not coming from this supposed false threat of anti-Semitism from the left. So what I would encourage, say to Ilhan Omar, and we were actually at her office, Code Pink was, to give support and thank her for her brave positions. But what I would encourage her is just to remain strong and stand by her principles and to know that her community is behind her, that we have her back, and we're so grateful for the work that she's doing.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Arielle, for joining us today. Give out the website for Code Pink.
It's codepink.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Arielle Gold is the national co-director of Code Pink. She manages the organization's campaigns for Palestinian rights. We've been discussing Ilhan Omar's recent comments on Israel and how they are being interpreted as anti-Semitic. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.